You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Sonia! The Earth is bleeding.
And grant me the power to find those who did this.
People again is all I dreamed of.
I like this one. Very, very feisty, eh?
He wants us to fight, or we both die.
Someone has to make a stand. Nothing but death awaits us. I will do what damage I can.
You know what, Red? You are quite the woman.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and tonight I am joined by the evil Lord Quinny and the two better female characters that are in this that have more lines than what anyone else did in the show. Hello, how are you going? Happy Tuesday. We're back. And hello to everyone. Yeah. And hello to everyone in the chat.
Sorry. As soon as we go into this, I'm like, oh, this film.
You can't go that quickly, Jill. Come on. Give it a little bit of space. Just give it a little bit of space. Let it breathe for a second. It's like a lovely red wine. You've just got to let it breathe for a moment. Okay.
I'm pretty sure this one's corked, my friend.
The metaphors are not there. Hello. How are we all? We all good?
I'm good.
I feel like the Cyclops who is the Harryhausen throwback Cyclops. I feel extraordinarily badly animated.
Not that badly animated. Not as badly as the double scorpion tail thing that we get to see and then take it away from us. Like, wait, that was a cool what? It's like, better than the Scorpion King. Anyway, it's gone so badly that Quinny has frozen. Amazing. I love this. Again, one day he will learn to just fix his internet. Christ sakes. Red Sonja. Okay. Mm. Now, it's good that Quinny has actually stalled on this one because it's his fault.
It was fine. Yeah,
there we go. He's pedal. It's Casper saying, yes. Pedal faster, Quinny. please pedal faster. And you seem to have frozen again. Amazing. Okay. Red Sonja.
Yeah,
Quinny's choice. He will come back and talk about why he chose this one. But the last time that we saw this as a cinematic masterpiece was in the 1985 film Red Sonja, starring Bridget Nielsen and Arnold Schwarzenegger, after he had played Conan, but he wasn't playing Conan in Red Sonja. Why?
This confused me.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to
confused me a lot because I was totally sure that this was a Conan spin-off.
Yep.
But it's not.
Nope. The only three Conan films that have been put on have been Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, and Jason Momoa Can, Bavarian. There we go. So that's it. It's not Conan. It's like you feel like this is supposed to be Conan, but it's not Conan. We're talking specifically Red Sonja. You know? And it has been 40 years since we've had a filmic masterpiece such as this. And I'm not sure if it's going to be another 40 years before we get another Red Sonja or Red Sonja adjacent thing. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just switching my internet to something that is pedaling.
Yeah, good. I hope the pedal's quite fine. But we're just going to, you seem to be there now. I was going to say, while you're under the bus, we'll just completely throw you under it for making us watch Red Sonja 2025 edition.
Now, look, you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm gonna put my hands up to it right now because the history of this is kind of a little interesting in that this movie's been in development for quite a long time. A very long time, in fact. And at one point, it was a film that was going to star Rose McGowan and be directed by Robert Rodriguez. Yeah.
Different film.
And that's when it was like, oh, and then, okay, that could be kind of cool.
But I wouldn't
there's
have
a bunch of art from that.
But I wouldn't have liked to have seen Rose McGowan with an M16 strapped to her leg playing Red Sonja.
She didn't have to have that. Like, she could be a different version that doesn't have the M16.
Yeah. But no, we didn't get that.
Yeah. So it's been hanging around for a long time, and I feel like there's a thing where films, if they hang around long enough, they just get cheaper and cheaper and shittier until somebody goes, you know what? We can't lose money on this.
You know what? That'll do.
Yeah.
What is it? The enemy of perfect the enemy of done is perfect. Is that the metaphor? Is that the euphemism?
Not quite.
You got it wrong.
Don't let perfect be the enemy of good, but you know.
Thanks. I feel like that was stamped on every single person involved in this production.
Yeah.
Will that do? Yes. Is it going to get the film made? Yes.
It's not. Look, it feels like it's like I'm saying it's the worst thing that's ever created. It is definitely not. I have seen far worse films. And I have actually some nice things to say about Red Sonja.
Okay. Well,
it was in focus.
Sure. they spent money on sets.
People got paid.
Yeah, people got paid.
Look, yeah. I'm very much of the, yay, well done. There are a lot of people who got jobs out of this.
And it's hard. It's not a terrible story. Like, I did follow the plot all the way through, and I'm like, it's not
Gladiator.
A terrible story.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Gladiator, but she doesn't have, you know, I guess she does have a sort of family to revenge, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've got to, there's a story about a book. There's a thing. Well, why am I saying these sorts of things? We need to be talking about a synopsis. Quinny, do you have a synopsis for us?
I do. And now, the question is, what's the shit accent?
Oh.
I mean, there are so many to choose from. Mm.
I'm gonna go Hyborian.
Okay.
No, Arnie. No, Casper. Oh, no, that's fine. No, it's too.
Because honestly, you say Hyborian, and the only Hyborian I know is Conan. But though technically he's a Sumerian.
Exactly. But I was just gonna say no, Donk. Casper. That's too easy to do.
Yeah, you could try for whatever the fuck Robert Sheen was doing in this.
Yeah.
English?
I don't know. It's kind of just Sheeny.
What about the Nordic blonde guy that showed up later that turned out to be somewhat related to Red Sonja or from the same place? Knew the same song.
What was his name? Sven the Unfuckable or something? Or?
That was the Undodgeable dude.
Yes. Well, I mean, technically that's another translation. Okay. We'll do it that way. I know he didn't sound like this, but that's as close as I've got.
Yeah, just give us Swedish.
Okay. Sorry, you said Swedish and all I thought was Swedish Chef. And I was like,
it's completely changed.
Earn you for doing this
game. Give us IKEA tour guide.
Oh, dear.
Hej. Captured, chained, and forced to fight for survival, Red Sonja must make her way through the blood-soaked pits of a tyrant's empire whilst rallying an army of outcasts to claim her freedom and take down Dragan. That's got two A dots above the A. It's a normal out.
Okay.
And his ruthless bride, Dark Anicia. That's the synopsis.
I love how the women have adjectives before their names.
Yeah.
Adjective lady.
Tell me more about it, opinionated Jill.
Wow, it's belligerent, thank you.
Yes,
I think we
ascertained that at the start of the show.
My apologies.
If there's one thing we can take away from it, Red Sonja has always been a character defined as belligerent redheaded woman.
Yes.
Yes. And that is a great thing to have on your tombstone, I feel.
Yes. So yeah, basically Red Sonja is hanging out in the forest with her horse friend.
I don't know. I think the horse's like brother or sister is Roach from The Witcher.
Oh yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, bad things happen. She gets captured, becomes a gladiator.
Yep. Excellent, great. And then defeats a Cyclops, dies, is resurrected.
Yep. Like,
somehow,
there's some magic.
Yeah,
there's some weird ape people. I quite like the ape people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like them. And then end of film.
Yes. Yeah. And then end there's, of film. There's characters. There's definitely a book.
Yes.
There's an unsurprising reveal, which we will talk about in the spoiler section.
Look, this film is definitely for a very specific course of people. Like, are you an environmentalist horse girl? This film is for you. Did you ever get so frustrated you want to pick up a sword and stab someone with it? That's what this film is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I feel bad for having made us watch this, but at the same time, I am fascinated to know what you all thought and whether there were points in time throughout this where you were all like, you know, I didn't mind that bit. Please tell me there were parts where you thought that.
I'm waiting for honestly, I feel like the floor is open for Jill and Peter to start us off on these. I don't care. Pick one, like, go for it, but you're both shaking your heads.
A bit that I didn't mind?
Sure.
Sorry.
I tell you, I came up with a new rating scale watching this film.
Is it tits back on? Did you get three? Is it like Total Recall now?
it's the ratio of like length of movie to when you picked up your phone.
Oh dear, it sounds like a 20-minuter.
Yeah, 20? So based on the length of the film being 1 hour and 50 minutes or 110 minutes, I picked up my phone roughly in the first 10 minutes, so I will be giving it 10% tonight.
Oof. Yeah. Oof. Oof. Straight
to the Jesus. Yep.
I think my why am I watching this and can I stop message came at about 3 minutes in. So
yeah.
But then boy, you got like to the end of it. You were really into it there, Pete. You just had all the nice things to say and the text is coming through, like, why, God, why? I'm like, yeah, I don't know why.
I think roughly like every 10 to 15 minutes after I picked up my phone, I would look at the screen just to see who was on there and then I'd look back down. But I do recall her coming out in the first iteration of the bikini that was very much string. The
absolutely archetypal.
Yeah, and I'm like, really, guys? Fucking really? And then she came out in the second iteration and I'm like, well, that's better. So I think that was something I
love. Peter's face says better.
I mean, I liked the second iteration and I wish that had been the first one. Because, I mean, when we think of Red Sonja, we think of the scale male chain bikini.
I don't think of Red Sonja, so that's fine.
That's fine.
I had a different reaction to both versions.
I love that. I don't even think about you at all.
Yeah, but like I appreciated that there was a bit more armor on the second version and it wasn't just a straight up bikini like the first one. I'm like, ew, did we really have to pay fan service in the first half of this and then... you know, give her a better look in the second half. I'm like,
yeah. I mean, I could see exactly what the filmmaker was doing, which is, I know that everybody is expecting to see the scale male bikini.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do it and do it in an ironic way so that, you know, the person who gives it to her is saying, oh, but it's funny. And, you know, there's a, like a joke about it. But no.
Well, the joke doesn't really pay off because she wore it.
Yeah. 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 That's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, oh, she accepted it and she put it on. I'm like, girl, you were wearing like light armor leather. You could have just worn that gear out there. And I'm pretty sure everybody else that she was hanging out with in that dungeon wore the exact same gear they were wearing.
I'm pretty sure there was... there. A fair amount of bulk purchasing. This just goes to show the costumes from there.
This just goes to show how nice and naive and you know likable she is, and this is allows you to connect to the character. I don't know. I've got no defense. Like it's just kind of like we need to
see. Yeah, it was like, oh, we need to give her some character development over the course of this film. So let's make her naive in the beginning and then a stone cold bitch at the end.
I feel like there was an executive there going, so she's going to be in the bikini, right? That's all I'm here for. That's what I
mean. Was she ever not in a bikini for the entire film, realistically?
I feel Peter, like you need to like maybe just do a quick Google image search of Red Sonja.
I did. Doesn't mean I like it.
No, absolutely not.
I just love costuming choices that like completely ignore any of like reasonable expectation in regard to climate. when like one of your characters is just always wearing a bikini and other people are wearing things like long sleeve cotton things. One of those people is cold and one of them is potentially too warm.
It's so well documented on how much that particular bikini on Red Sonja and the character of Red Sonja has been absolutely pointed at over, well, how long did you say, Quinny? Is it 90 years that the character has existed?
So the character originally was created in 1934.
Yeah, and it's specifically in Marvel Comics eras from the mid-70s, but it has definitely been a constant part of pointed and parody and laughter and ridiculousness and imitation people refer to this as an absolutely ridiculous bikini-clad woman who is a fighter that has no distinct reason for wearing a bikini in these fights. And it comes, and I feel like it's sort of coming into a full circle. No one has given a great excuse. Like, there's never been a great iteration of this character where they're just like, oh, no, it makes sense, but this way. It's like, no, it's just that the character has a bikini of chainmail. It doesn't serve any purpose. It doesn't serve any function. It doesn't protect anything.
It has no reason why it should be the armor of choice.
Nope, it's just bikini-clad barbarian woman to match loincloth-clad barbarian man. And Dungeons and Dragons did so much for feminism.
Yes.
Yeah. And at least these illustrations of Red Sonja that I'm looking at, she's actually quite muscular, and it makes maybe a little bit more sense that she's able to pull her way free of restraints and defeat entire armies.
Yeah, and Boris Vallejo's, like, comic illustrations and fantasy covers do a great job of that stuff too. It's bodybuilder style. She doesn't look fragile and weak. She's always quite strong in them. But I won't go into any defense of it. Like, one of these things, like, I cannot defend the bikini. No one.
Well, it's okay, but she didn't need to look strong because, like, you know, nobody else has ever climbed out of this pit.
No.
So. Mm. Yeah. So that's how we know that she's especially strong.
I mean,
you always need that, like, well, nobody else has done it before. She's special.
Even Batman didn't succeed on his first climb out of the pit. So, you know, sorry that Red Sonja's a bit of a Mary Sue.
Oh, it did have a touch of the Chosen One fantasy thing about it. In the beginning.
And that's the thing. Like, it's not like I don't frequently read books where the Chosen One fantasy trope is
thrown a glass.
Entire plot.
What are you talking about? Like, even after this, there was a double-tailed giant scorpion that they were rounding up like the dinosaurs out of Jurassic Park. And you're sitting there going, maybe she was a bit strong. Come on, man.
I will say, like, it's shit, no question, but there were elements that I was pleased that they went harder into the fantasy on. Like, when I saw double-tailed scorpion and weird, I don't know, rhino things.
Oh, yeah.
And the cyclops and some of the monsters, I was like, they were having a tilt at it. They were going, okay, we're going to do fantasy. Like, and we're going to do fantasy with monsters and a bit of magic and all that kind of stuff. It's not like, it's cheap. Yeah, it's cheap shit. But at least they were kind of having a bit of a tilt at it.
And Techno Orb that provided power, much like the Tron universe, that was a surprise. It's like, what the fuck is this? And it's machines? Machines versus what? Like, where are the dragons and the other? Okay.
All right. And it all came from a book.
Where's a skeleton? Where's a skeleton warrior?
That's what this was really missing. It was like a good fight with some skeleton warriors.
And if you're going to do Harryhausen, go full Harryhausen. Don't do cut price Harryhausen. Anyway.
Yeah, that Cyclops was very definitely cut price Harryhausen.
That's okay. Actually, you know, what was the Australian television show Spellbinders? Which was the one that magnets and you go into that. It had vibe of that. Like I was kind of watching it going, oh, this has got that kind of vibe of, is it magic? Is it just magnets? How do they work?
I did have that conversation with somebody where I said, yeah, it's fantasy, but it's like, and I said, it's like, you know, it looks a bit like TV fantasy. And they went, oh, okay. And I went, but no, not like Game of Thrones TV fantasy. I mean, like Xena.
TV
yeah,
fantasy.
90s TV fantasy. Yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah. And that's the kind of touchstone you need for this. It's like...
What was the Kevin Sorbo one? Oh, Hercules.
It will still hurt me forever that guy is the one that started first and Xena was a spin-off from him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, what a dickhead. yeah. So... actors, tell me about your thoughts on the cast.
Okay, well, when I saw Robert Sheen, I'm like, oh, okay, this might be saved. But, boy, was I wrong. It felt like they might have given him the acting note of, like, we want Jeremy Irons from Dungeons & Dragons.
I feel like someone's got something on him.
And then he was like, you know what? I'm getting the check either way. So I'm going to do the bare minimum. Even though I'm Robert Sheehan and I've done 4 seasons of Umbrella Academy that have made me super famous, even though my other shows were probably better, I'm just not going to try.
Hey, wasn't he from The Misfits?
He was.
Yeah.
He was great in The Misfits.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Walk to the buck. Say the line. Get off the stage.
I mean, it's hard to... It's a great actor... Patrick Stewart probably couldn't have lifted the material. Yeah. Let's like the script. He wasn't given much him the benefit to work with. None of them were given that much to work with script-wise. And I know I'm being mean. You know I don't like being mean about things that people put a lot of time and energy into. But my God.
Look at that. Look, this film's Broken Peter. She used to be a nice, pleasant person.
I mean, the best thing I can say about it is that it made me nostalgic for Xena Warrior Princess.
Which is good. Like, it's nice that it did that, even though Xena Warrior Princess is terrible. It's 10 times as worse. It's just much more camp. So at least you sort of get on board with the stupidity of it. This was just like...
I feel like it knows what it is.
If this film had been camp, I probably would have enjoyed it more.
Years ago, I directed a play once and I was given the note, you know, it needs to be more camp. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there's a decision that you make at a point. If you're going camp, you have to go full camp.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You can't just nuzzle up to it. No. Yeah, you have
to. Like if it had gone like Flash Gordon kind of like camp.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Robert Sheehan's character had been like moustache twirling kind of levels of bad, then I would have really dug
it. I'm not sure it could have been saved by a couple of feather boas and a musical number. Like,
he did have one funny line where he said nice shot to the person who shot the wrong person.
don't even remember that.
But that's the thing. I mean, there are ways to do this. There are ways to pay homage to this kind of material that may be a little dated in its aesthetics and approach, and there are ways to kind of pay homage to it that are really entertaining. If she'd been handed the silver chainmail as an homage to that and was like, fuck that, that's stupid, I'm not wearing that, that would have been funny while still paying homage to the thing. I do feel like this was like a very serious take.
But
the
I mean,
music
some,
is very dramatic, by the way.
Sometimes you got to commit to it, and I feel like that was the part of this production which is like, no, someone has to commit to it. Like Conan the Barbarian would have been way fucking dumber if Arnold had been like, I need to make more jokes. You know? Like, no, you don't, Arnold. Just do the thing. But you're like, you know, this one, I feel like they were committed to providing that and letting the comedy come at other points, which maybe was a mistake. I'm not so sure about this, you know. I mean, I don't want to make unfair comparisons with the Bridget Nielsen and this one, because let me tell you, they're both equally as atrociously terrible in dialogue and plot. But I feel like Bridget Nielsen's character perhaps had a little bit more of the angry presence because she felt a bit more like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, not much going on there, just wants dad.
Yeah.
You know? In this one, I think there was the attempt to be like, oh, this is a naturalist, environmentalist, and other things, and I'm just trying to protect the Earth Mother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't have a particularly strong emotional response to this Red Sonja at all.
Sure. You know what? The entire film, I'm like, God, she looks like Stephanie Bendixson. I couldn't unsee X watching this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have gone more Viking warrior.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I couldn't summon up a strong emotional about her because I don't feel like she had overly strong emotions, even when she was meant to be furious and stuff. I was kind of like, I'm not
oh my God. And then when we get to the bit with the bad eye makeup, I'm like, oh dear.
Then I got a lot of like alloy and a lot of what was the one that came out, which was one about mental health journey. There's a game.
Oh, Senua's Sacrifice.
Yes, that kind of thing, which is like, oh, okay, I'm on there. Actually, if I can say one thing about the cast or a couple of things about the cast that I did not enjoy, which I know, right?
Only a couple.
Rona Mitra. Why would you get someone of the caliber of Rona Mitra into this, who has led stupid sci-fi post-apocalypse fantasy films in the past, and then just immediately wipe her out? I'm like, come on. She was literally there to be the person that could help Red Sonja become Red Sonja, and then they just got rid of her.
And honestly, I think in a different time, you know, Rona Mitra probably would have been a perfectly great Red Sonja.
Yeah. I feel like they only had her for a day, and they're just like, we have to shoot all of this now.
Yeah.
And that's a bit sad. But yeah, Rona Mitra's great. And criminally underused.
Yes.
The Osen the Untouched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me how you feel about him, the Untouched.
I feel so untouched right now. Need you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of Veronica's. That's that.
That's by far the best. It's the best thing that we've heard about this. So, I mean...
I mean, why did he give him that name? I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Was it supposed to be sexy?
Yeah. Was he supposed to be sexy?
Yeah. You know. Like, oh, he's the hot boy. He might be a virgin. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's untouched.
And I mean, like, I don't even want to go into the whole rest of it. Like,
you know, it would have been funny because, like, we're referring to him as being untouched as that he hadn't been sliced by a blade. I'm like, they should have called him Ocean the Uncut.
at one point, one of the characters does say to him that she prefers an uncut gem. And like, my brain just like immediately.
I thank you. and even who was the guy? The guy who was the armorer, who has been in stuff before.
I forgot. It's okay. Name. Nobody else ever remembers his name.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Brown.
Is that his name, Brown?
Wasn't it? Because he called her Red, and she called him Brown. He's like, no one ever remembers my name.
And he's not even
No, nobody ever remembers my name.
That must have been one moment I looked up from my phone.
And went, oh, yeah. Look,
I'd like to know, what were you reading on your phone? Like, what was there something really good?
I've got a new hyperfixation game.
Oh. Is it solitaire?
No, it's a thing where you like tap colored screws and you have to sort them.
We're getting off track. Yeah.
I did ask.
Let's go. Okay, let's go into ratings, do a clip, and then come back and expand on why we should make this not go anywhere else. And we blame Quinny and don't let him pick another movie for at least 1 month.
Yeah. 1 month.
Jill, you've
already, in the naughty corner.
Jill's already done the 10%, actually. 10 out, is it 10 out of 100?
Actually, no. 10 into 110 minutes is 9. So 9%.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. No, that's good. 9 from Jill. Peter?
I'm with Jill. I'm like... There wasn't anything that I liked about it. Oh. And I think part of it is because I don't know the source material and I have no appreciation for any of the source material and any of the references. But as somebody coming into this shit cold, oof.
did you lose respect for me as a part of this? Like, were you like, the fuck?
No. I was spending the whole time thinking, but why? But it's like, but why would Quinny do this to me?
Because Quinny didn't know how shit it was going to be.
Look, we're all asked for a sword and jandal epic.
Jandals,
because that's what it felt like. It didn't feel like a sandal. It felt like a jandal. Like, okay, everyone, we're just going to get in here and do a Red Sonja film. And okay, action. Okay, good take. Next, we're moving on. It kind of felt like that.
Yeah.
So Xena meets Gladiator isn't a good combo for me. So I'm with Jill. I'm going to go with 10.
10. Okay.
So mean. Excellent. So mean to the people who spent 2 years of their life doing this.
So mean to those people.
They got paid. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm much kinder to this because it did have a more interesting take than the 1985 one, because they tried to upgrade it and make it a little bit more interesting and throw a few different bits in there, and it wasn't so focused on it while paying some nods. I don't think the nods were right, as Peter and Jill have explained. But I appreciate the attempt. They had some interesting creatures, but very limited. They had one really nice set piece of the Mother Earth pool thing, which I didn't really understand why. I was like, oh, that's a really nice set, and they've just not used it again. Oh, right, because it's coming back later. I get it. But overall, the production and the effort and the stuff that went into the 1985 version is far more interesting to go and watch that in comparison. You know, the plot's worse. It's all, you know, terrible woman gets... I won't even encourage you to go and watch a Bridget Nielsen one, because the character motivation is absolutely bog standard 1980s traumatized woman.
But did it explain everything in like flashbacks with lots of like dissolves and like, yeah, did it do that? Because
no, it pretty much explained where she came from in the first 20 seconds, including ghostly apparition of Mother Earth coming as a form and tapping her on the head with a sword, and now she's an unbeatable sword person after her family was murdered and she was abused by soldiers. And yeah, that's Red Sonja from that side. But the production design, that was great, because excellent matte paintings and great set pieces and an interesting female villain in that one, who also had a green glowy orb that she was going to take over the world with. And didn't succeed.
What we do now.
Yeah. But also Arnold Schwarzenegger is a sidekick who is very definitely not Conan, but looks and moves and talks exactly like Conan.
Legally distinct Conan.
It was. It's got a legally distinct Conan. But in this one, you know, I kind of did have a little bit of fun. I didn't have a terrible time. I had a little bit of fun. And it started to taper off as you got towards the end, especially with some of the real hinky action pieces and the final fight.
What about the bit where she jumped off the balcony and then backflipped and then shot people with the bow and arrow as she was falling?
And especially the one bit where
she
was riding a horse somewhere and it looked like they just put a mat from the Endor speeder chase behind. And then it cut away real quick, and I was like, what happened there? It wasn't the forest. But the one thing that made it only 30 for me is, and dropping way down, is where did she get a fucking coconut from?
Yeah, it's not a...
That gave me the shit. She's in a European forest and the first thing you see her do is open up a coconut pouch that she has and do some special magic environmental stuff with it. And I was like, where did you get it from? I know that we're in a fantasy.
But why?
It's a special fantasy coconut. Yes. A special fantasy forest with the special fantasy dinosaurs exactly. And the special fantasy...
Yes. It was it, was it an African or European swallow?
I think you're focusing too much
yes.
on the reality of this and not enough on her the deep and abiding love she has for and with her horse. Like anyway.
Felt a little bit sexual at times, I'll be honest.
Thank you. I didn't want to be the creep who said it, but there are a few times I'm like, I'm picking up more from this relationship with the horse than any other character in the film.
Oh yeah.
Well, basically it's step horse. Because, you know, she was a child when the horse rescued her, and then the horse has basically raised her until she's a...
Ooh.
Yeah, so...
He's got too many levels.
Exactly. Mm. I'm not saying anything yeah. untoward was going on. I'm just saying deeply troubling.
Yeah. I know they joked that Catherine the Grey fucked the horse, but I bet Red Sonja did.
And you know what? More power to her.
What kind of animals were in that
the
forest? Great,
and I get that joke, so thanks. Dion, did you actually have a numerical value in there?
Yeah, 30.
He said 30.
30, sorry.
Yeah.
It's all right. You can ask again.
Sorry, I was Quinny, listening to all the other words.
Quinny, what number are you picking?
How do you define sorry as a number?
It's 69, Quinny.
No, it's really... I mean, that is certainly reciprocal, but... It's not sorry. I fell asleep in parts of it. And then, like there was a point where I sort of woke back up and I was like, oh, I must have missed a heap. And then I rewound and I'd missed precisely 2 seconds.
You had a micro sleep.
I was like, oh no. I was kind of hoping I'd maybe missed a chunk and that was going to make things better. I was going to find the bit that really, you know, made it all work. So no.
I mean, there were definitely times where plot just happened.
Sure. But they had to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
That's how movies work. If you'd known that, Peter.
It's a 20 for me.
20. So bad. I had the best time out of all of you.
Sounds like it.
I had the best time watching Red Sonja.
You fucking love this movie.
Yeah, you're a love this shit.
Yeah.
Like there were a couple of moments in some of the fight sequences where I was like, oh, okay, there's some interesting choreo there. Like, and like the character that Wallace Day is playing, like they're like I did have a brief moment of going, that's kind of interesting if they're actually playing with post-traumatic stress and everything, but no, they're not. Not really. You know,
hinting at it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. No. It's just not a good film, and I like. And so my next film is a new remake of Deathstalker, which looks even worse. No.
Dear. Okay, let's go to a clip, and this is the very specific clip where we get to see Red Sonja, who is about to fight in her first big arena battle after having been captured and enslaved by the Emperor, who's just a science tech bro. Make your own decisions about whether or not this is worth it.
Please, don't push!
Ashman, give me my weapons.
Out of my way, Petra. Today, we meet the gods.
Gods? Well, wait.
There you go, Petra.
Get the move on, Blacksmith!
Fast I can, boss, fast I can. None of that!
Come on, you! Let's get it on! Ocean!
realize the only way out now is through there.
You won't be so keen when you are up there.
Don't worry. I left some for you.
Are you ready? What do you think you'll be fighting today? Make me proud!
Petra. For love.
Keep it orderly. No pushing.
I'll give you the spear.
You'll get your...
So... To get out of this miserable hole, I need to die or win, correct?
That's right. Them Nazi gangs. Hear that? Biggest day of the week for these sad sacks.
Very well. I want that, and that, and those.
Excellent choices. You can have this, this, and these.
And that protects?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The crowd will love it.
Make you wear this? I would have cut the balls from any man who tried to make me.
Yes, and that's what we're saying. You definitely should have cut the balls off any person that tried to make you wear that fucking outfit.
I mean, we haven't even talked about, like, the Princess Leia in chains, but actually kind of weirdly on a crucifix like Jesus and in a bikini moment. Like,
yeah.
Don't know what that was, but just another excuse for a bikini, I guess.
Yeah.
Just wear a lot of clothes in this movie for one character.
Yeah.
Everyone else got all of the clothes.
Yeah. And that's, yeah.
It's because she's a Hyderian?
Iranian?
Sorry?
Hyrcanian, that's right.
Hyrcanian.
I know. Wait, welcome to the thing. Conan is a Sumerian. They're all going to Hyboria, and she's a Hyrcanian.
Yeah,
God, it's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and the Hyrcanians very much big into bikinis. Like, sure. Not many people know that, but that's just how it is. Except for in the flashbacks where the rest of the Hyrcanians wear a lot of clothes.
Yeah. Wearing very standard normal clothing.
Yeah. So it just turns out that Sonya is big into bikinis all the time.
That was the explanation. And also, just it's spoiler stuff that's up now, and I don't really mind. Rhona Mitra's character dies immediately after that thing starts. So you just get introduced to it. You're about to see her fight maybe the first time, for the first time. Like, yay, she's a tough, like, good role model for Red Sonja. Oh, she's dead. How do we all feel about the resurrection of Sonja, who dies after getting stabbed and then ends up going into the pool of the mother goddess thing, and then she gets reborn with a dye job? And a bad dye job. Why was it a bad dye job?
I'm like, the hair was mildly acceptable before the resurrection, and then afterwards, I'm like, why did you just cheap out all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's like the
worst. What do you mean
all
of a sudden? This thing was cheaping out from fucking get-go.
Yeah.
On her wig.
Okay, right. Okay, thank you.
And, you know, fair enough too. Like, I mean, the Bridget Nielsen one, it's not much better. Like, it doesn't have the shock of red. It's just a very sort of muted orange hair that goes through the whole thing. But one of the things about Red Sonja is she had this very red hair, and then they gave her the red hair and the eye makeup, and then she can backflip off stuff and shoot two arrows at a time.
Yeah.
And
but they gave her fake red hair.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, very obviously fake red hair. Because she lay down in a pool, and it then turned into a pool of not very convincing blood.
Oh,
and
dear.
And I mean, it wasn't as bad as the Aquaman red hair of on. That one.
Oh,
yeah, that's another very fake red hair. Mera.
Didn't quite work.
Yeah. Yeah. So spoiler stuff. Mm. Like, did anyone even remotely give a shit about the whole plot thing of the Emperor being, you know, her little friend as a child or whatever?
I mean, I love the way that was just revealed, like, in extremely basic exposition by completely different characters while Robert Sheehan wasn't even there. Like, that was a fun way to reveal it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And then when they did it, the bit with Robert Sheehan, and it was like meant to be a big reveal, and you're like, no, you told us like
you just,
10
like
minutes ago.
You did the storybook version of it already.
I feel like this is kind of, you know, fantasy, medieval fantasy Idiocracy, like the movie there. It's like the one character in the entire movie that read a fucking book became emperor of everyone and basically controlled the planet because they were like, fuck, you're all dumb. I can read. I know how to follow instructions. I'm going to become the emperor. And also, I love that drug
the,
my
the
girlfriend.
The other half of the book was just like, don't be a cunt.
Yeah. Try to use herbs and nature and be good to things to maintain the planet. And he's like, oh, this sounds terrible, stupid.
Good.
Yeah. Also, he had like his offsider who was just like absolutely in love with him was like, come on, like, you know, let's have sex. And he's like, no. I have my book. No, I have my book. Maybe later, once I finish conquering. Later.
Also, I guess points for the extremely literal interpretation of gaslighting.
Yeah.
You put the thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
True. Yep.
I was sad about not seeing Monkey Man having a decent death. I don't think it was as decent because that was kind of interesting when they were showing this Hyborian place that has all these animals, but there are also races of people and the sort of baboon kind of the two that we got to see, one man, one woman.
It's all they could afford.
But it was great. That was really good. I love that. They looked good. Mm. They moved good. They were acted well. High five to that.
Yeah.
That's why I gave it 30.
Pour one out the for baboon. The baboon, guys.
Yeah, pour one out for Team Baboon. I thought you did a bang-up job.
What? Sorry, occasionally I'll just like, I've got the trailer just sitting there and I'll look at it, bits of it and go, oh, for fuck's sake.
Also, can I ask one little question? Does the sword seem slightly too short?
100%.
I feel like it should be much bigger, but maybe they're really heavy and it didn't work. You know, physics doesn't count in this sort of stuff. Like, you know, the scabbard on the back that you can use that people see in those things, it doesn't actually work in practice. Like if you try to take it out, it's like, oh, hang on, I got to bend over it, get the angle right. No, wait, can someone else help? All right, I got the sword out. You know, this just seems weird.
Yeah, like I looked at some of the art, you know, as I was doing the graphics and everything, I was like, the sword's really short. Mm. And then I realized that there's also a thing of like, it is the right size for her height. She is quite short. Like, the character is meant to be like Amazonian.
Yeah,
6 like 6 foot tall woman.
Bridget Nielsen, 6 foot five.
There you go. She is.
Do you think Gwendolyn Christie could have played this better?
Oh, yeah.
But
that's the thing. Like, I would have hated it much less if I wasn't constantly having that kind of like, yeah, like you can tell that she doesn't have the muscular to pull that off. Like, cast someone that looks like they can do that shit, and then maybe I won't be so pissed off that they're in a bikini the whole time. But instead, you've cast someone who looks traditionally how we expect someone to look good in the bikini due to media, and every single scene I'm like, she couldn't do that. No way. Like, is she the Slayer? Does she have special powers? If not, she couldn't do that.
And yeah, there is nothing to indicate that there is any kind of magical power other than after her resurrection.
Yeah,
where, you know,
I'm not saying that women can't do that, I'm just saying that women who build up the kind of strength to do that tend to
look different,
physically strong.
Yeah.
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 But instead, you just wanted someone that looked what you thought was good in the bikini.
Do you feel like they started storyboarding with the bikini reveal and then built the film around that one?
I think they probably cast based on the bikini reveal.
Yeah.
And hey, she's got a lovely midriff. Like, you know, that's hard to pull off. And I'm not saying that she did a terrible job again with the material that she had. But it was just like one of those things that I was just kind of like, ugh, it's like, it's one thing to like, give me a fantasy novel and, you know, fourth wing or whatever, and be like, this girl is the weakest person in the world, but actually she's the strongest out of all of them. but generally, like when the character is like physically weak, that strength comes from other things. Like she ends up like with the strongest magic or something like that. It's generally not like she is a waifish tiny human and is actually the strongest out of all of us physically. Unless she's the Slayer.
So if you were going to get this redone by someone who maybe understood camp and do a bit, do you have a certain director in mind that you would like to see their take on Red Sonja? Because it feels like this character is very difficult to get wrong. Oh, sorry, very easy to get wrong. Mm. Is there someone you think who could get it right?
That is such a good question. I wasn't prepared for a good question, Dion.
I understand the vibe I give out on this show.
We don't usually like ask each other like.
But I do have a
thought-provoking questions in this chat.
Sure, I mean I've got someone in mind, but I just want to see what if anyone else could come up with something.
No? So we want somebody who does action, somebody who.
Do they have to do action? I just like to see their take on the character, knowing that you have to have a few things in there, which is like there's a female lead. It's in an age which is traditionally, you know, horribly patriarchal and terrible to women. There are fantasy sword elements, you know, it's kind of medieval. Should it be a bit more camp? I think it would go that way.
I feel like you're feeding us towards something.
I mean, you've just like made me want to see Greta Gerwig's take on it.
That's the one.
That's what you're getting to.
That's the one. I want to see Greta Gerwig's Red Sonja.
And that's the thing. Like, doing the most take that she did with Barbie, like, that was a full lean in.
And maybe get Emerald Fennell to like produce or something.
I think that'd be hilarious. I reckon it would come out as this thing of like, she would be in the bikini the whole time, but by the end of it, you'd be like, that is a fucking kick-ass outfit. She's serving cunt instead of the other way around. You know, oh, what's she in that for?
Yeah. And that's a funny thing. Like, you can kind of have that messaging. It's like, you know what? She's fucking comfortable in a bikini. It's easy for her to move and shut the fuck up. That's her choice. And it's not up to you to dictate it based on some, you know, societal expectation about who's wearing the sluttiest outfit.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like that was the intention.
Yeah.
And 100%. Like it felt like the intention was, she looks hot in the bikini, guys.
We should put her in the bikini.
It's very easy. Just set it in the desert. Done.
Yeah.
Would have made more sense.
Would make more sense
to wear linen in the desert, to be honest.
True, yeah.
No one wants to get sunburnt in metal.
Oh, hot metal.
Or sweating under the leather.
There's one thing that I keep on thinking about. I was like, oh, man, they could have done more with the element of her being smaller if they were going to. Then use more interesting forms of combat, like you know, use more of the grapples and jiu-jitsu and the
Wing
stuff
Chun.
That is about using person's weight against them and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Having her go toe-to-toe with a thing that is, you know, 6'7" of monkey strength, and you're like
baboon strength.
I'm sorry, baboon strength. Yeah, I was kind of like, work smarter.
But she was magically empowered by Mother Earth at that time.
Good point. Well made. I mean, if you really love Red Sonja, there is also an episode of Conan the Adventurer, a TV show from the mid-90s. So you could watch that too. Or you could go back and watch the 1985 film.
Yeah, look. I mean, okay, I don't think this is going to encourage anyone to go out and find more things about the character of Red Sonja. But I really kind of want to see this character run into the Jason Momoa Conan. I feel like that would be funny.
On par. Because, yeah. Like, if the Jason Momoa Conan also felt cheap, felt like it missed the point of, sure. of the character, and it felt like...
But at least dude was trying to resurrect the freaking snake helmet so that he could take over the world because it was magically powered and he felt evil. This evil was just kind of like, as I said earlier, tech bro.
Which, admittedly, in this day and age, I'm actually like, what is the greatest evil? Yeah. Unfuckable tech bros.
Unfuckable tech bros. Well, that concludes our show forever.
Forever. We're never again going to be found by anyone in
just
any
algorithm. Just got a cease and desist order from Meta and Atlassian and Palantir.
And Chud.com.
And Chud. Yeah. Thanks, Quinny, for this month's
Nemesis.
Great pick. Hot one out of the gate there. But next week, well, we can only look forward to the future. What are we going to do next week?
The only way is up. We are doing Eddington next week. Mm. Everybody's favorite daddy.
I don't really think this is a very... I don't consider this a Pedro film. But it's a Ari Aster...
It's a Joaquin film.
Yeah, it's really more of a Joaquin film. And he had a long way to go after giving us Joker 2. So... You know, see how we go. Interesting film that I hope is very thought-provoking for people out there. If you're going to go and see both Red Sonja or Eddington, maybe on the Eddington side.
don't feel that you have to rush out and see the Sonja.
No, I wouldn't do that. And then hopefully everyone can source her, however, by whatever means they have, the end of the month show, which, again, is cult cinema. But I'm telling
and
you,
and I'm now looking forward to see how everybody reacts to Dion's choice of cult cinema.
I'm scared.
See, Red Sonja that we just watched is sort of bad, but Megaforce is just art.
I don't know how to trust your taste, bro.
I know, bro. There's a very specific bro. Like Jill, I'm sorry. My advice is get yourself a Lego set, have a bit of fun. Like, build a bit of Lego while watching it. It'll be okay. Peter, just break it up into 20-minute bits on the train every day. maybe that's how you'll get
the filmmaker's intended.
but I just want you to try it. It just feels like a series of vignettes and scenes. And then we'll get into it at the end of the month. But yes, it's highbrow ridiculous.
Oh, and a reminder, that one is moving to Wednesday, if memory serves.
Oh, yes. Apologies. That one's moving to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which I haven't updated yet. Yes. End of the month. That's okay. Don't worry. It's fine. Now we can all get back to discussing what we really wanted to talk about, aliens. That next episode comes out tomorrow. Yeah.
That's all right. I definitely do want to talk about that, but we know that Jill is a little bit behind.
Yep. And we can never convince Peter to watch it, so it's all absolutely lost on her. Peter, did you see anything good last week you want to talk about?
Yeah. What have you been watching?
I watched the latest episode of Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, we haven't discussed that on camera yet. How do we all feel about the song now?
Oh, second time around, the song hits much better.
Yeah.
you do need
I get it.
The episode one tonal set in order to appreciate the opening dance.
Yeah, I get it now.
Excellent. Yeah, yep. Good.
Just interesting thing that had been I've seen talked about, and I'm asking everybody, what have you noticed about the alternate world? That you know the alternate universe that Peacemaker is going into. Pete, I've already asked Jill this off stream. So I'm just interested, Pete, have you noticed anything about that alternate reality?
Nothing specifically, but it feels off.
Good.
I haven't put a lot of thought into why it feels off.
Well, some people, a particular group, have been yelling quite loudly about it. And I was like, oh, shit. If you go back and feel like watching it, you'll find that there is not a single person of color in the other universe. Mm-hmm. It is all white. Like, there are no black or Asian or anything other people, which I think is probably going to lead into being a very big plot point to the rest of that, you know, this season.
But I'm going to have to pay more attention because I probably am double screening watching the thing.
I might be folding my clothes.
Yeah, I haven't.
That's how I got that. 3/4 of the way through that one episode of The Bear before I realized it was a one-er.
Damn.
And look, to be honest.
But it's definitely kind of like even just, yeah, there's definitely kind of like, oh, no, like these good guys are bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Is like the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of sort of look at it and go, oh, hang on, did he just kill a whole bunch of potentially not terrible people?
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe. Hey, who knows? We've still got the rest of the season to figure it out. Yay. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Dion. And no thank you, Quinny, for this week's Red Sonja. I think 40 years was a little bit too short between drinks. For this one,
feel bad. I'm sorry.
And you should feel bad.
I will watch whatever people tell me to as penance.
Pass and wreck.
You're watching The Wire.
Casper also said he quite liked Cowardly Rick Flag Jr. as well. It's nice to see.
Oh, thanks. We're getting spoilers for episode 3. Cool.
Smashed. Well, I did put the logo up.
That's on me.
Yeah, that's on you. Sorry, Jill.
Come on, Jill. I've pulled my headphones out in the past and had a meal to avoid.
Should have just left.
Yeah. Come on.
It's not a big spoiler.
That's right.
No, I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you, Casper. Don't worry. I'm not that hung up on it.
Thanks, everyone, in the chat. That was a fun time. Thanks for all of your bits and pieces. Totally avoid Red Sonja. Not worth your time or effort. There you go.
Yeah.
Easy one.
Elska Norga tells us to go and watch Beforeigners. We've because that's what he always tells us to watch.
Which I have done,
and it's worth watching. Like, if you guys haven't, then that's on you.
I thought we'd actually reviewed it like a long time ago, didn't we?
I think we talked about season one.
I think you talked about a little bit in bits and pieces, but I don't think it was an official review with a number.
Okay,
right.
Gotta remember if there's no review with a number, it didn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, how many tits? Well, just before we go, Jill, how many tits back on?
Oh,
For Red Sonja, how many?
As
like
many
you,
as I can
you started with two, and now are you like? Is it like the 6 from Return of the Jedi with the dancing lady in Jabba's palace?
I've got an udder, babe.
Utterly, utterly yes. Bankrupt.
Utterly awful.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, all. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.